Okay. Mr. Hashem, I wanted to start some of the issues that recently has many rabbis have spoken about this issue regarding whether what is the basic understanding as far as the mitzvah of tefillin and as far as the woman being involved in the mitzvah of tefillin. You know, when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin, there is a very interesting Rav Zalman Suratskin that he writes in end of Parashat Bo, when the Torah talks about the mitzvah for the first time. So the Torah writes that v'haya le'ot al yadcha u'l'zikaron b'inecha, that it's supposed to be, the tefillin is supposed to be as a sign on a person's hand and a zikaron. Zikaron, remembrance, or ultotafut, which means like a crown, bein enecha, between a person's eyes. So many of the mefarshim explain similar explanation, that the basic idea is the fact that it's going on our head. The Torah has it made that there are four parshiot for the tefillin, and it goes on a person's head, which person on his head has four of the senses, four out of the five senses that we do possess. So therefore, there are four parashiyot, each of them in different compartments. So the idea is that I want to subjugate, and I want to make my mind, my brain, subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea of tefillin shel rosh, that when different types of thoughts comes to a person's head, it's supposed to be uprooted step by step through the mitzvah of tefillin, that the emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be implanted in a person's brain. So that is the idea of tefillin shel rosh. When it comes to tefillin shel yad, it's supposed to be on the person's hand, and on the other hand, it's supposed to be towards the person's heart. So it's the same idea. The first of all, the idea of being on the heart, adjacent to the heart, is supposed to be the idea of, again, that the heart and its emotions supposed to be subjugated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then why is it that dafka is supposed to be yad keha? The Gemara learns from the fact that the Torah says al yadcha yad keha, the way it's written, the weaker hand. So what's the idea that the tefillin is supposed to be placed on the weaker hand? He says a person might imagine eventually when he sees success in his life, sheyesh lanu yad ve'ula yad chazaga. Maybe a person might come to this imagination and, he might think that he has a mamash big, he's a big shot. Aval keshe matmidin lahani khan. When a person on a constant basis, every day, he puts it on, shiyadenu, so the person eventually comes to realize that I put the tefillin and I bound my hand, and I put it on the left hand, which is the weaker hand. Yad keha umitrachakim. We come to distance ourselves from the idea of kochi v'otzem yadi asal yetachayil hazeh, that it was kochi, my power and my strength, that I was able to, so the ego eventually will go away, that your afilu left hand, which is the weaker hand, is bounded, is supposed to indicate this nekuda, that ultimately there is a God who is running the world, and he is ultimately the master. And he is the decision maker. He is, based on a person's mazal and his task, has decided to give these types of gifts to us. And at the end of the day, these are all gifts. So this is what I wanted to discuss, based on the fact that a few weeks ago, unfortunately, there was two of the students from one of the high schools. So they asked their principal that they were interested if they would be given and granted permission by their principal to put on tefillin when the school has a prayer services, Yeshua High School. So the question came up, and he wrote to them a letter basically indicating as follows. It says, in a world where there are so many things that distract our teens from focusing on mitzvot, we should support teenagers who seek to strengthen their connection to Hashem and to a life of mitzvot. So therefore, they want to be connected to God. So therefore, we have to support them. So let it be that they want to do it to school them. It's worth putting it on. So the question is, you know, can you say such a thing based on the fact that, what are the issues? So the Harav Sheikh there, being that he put an unbelievable essay right after regarding this issue, so I wanted to discuss his essay together with some other points. So, the girls asked to put on tefillin. So, basically, Harav Shechter writes, I'm mentioning summary of this essay, that first of all, we know that when it comes to halacha, the individuals who have to decide halacha, just like when it comes to also the same thing would be when in any other field, you have an individual who has a degree, and then you have an individual who has a master degree, so you have somebody who is, mamash, this is his profession. You have individuals, you have to, let's say you have a general practitioner as a doctor, then you have a surgeon. These are two different levels. The havdil, when it comes to halacha, is also the same thing. Rav Shechter explains that not everybody is allowed when it comes to paskin in halachot. Not everybody is allowed just because of the fact that he has, even if he has a semicha, which is rabbinical degree, that doesn't entitle him to be able to voice an opinion, and definitely not an opinion that would contradict what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, if just by the fact that a person comes to voice an opinion, if it contradicts the Shulchan Aruch, whoever it might be, even if the biggest of the biggest so-called individual, you cannot call him a rabbi, but if there would be such a thing, so Shulchan Aruch's pesach would stand, and his opinion will get rejected. So there is no question about it. That means the authority is not binding when the authority makes a mistake. I feel when it comes to, imagine Sanhedrin, that they made, it says, Asher Nasi Echeta, that there is such a thing that the Pasuk in Parashat Vayikra says, that there is such a concept that the Nasi, the leader of Sanhedrin, could make a mistake. And then the Torah describes that he has to bring a Korban. That there is such a possibility that Afilu Gedolim Sheve Gedolim would come to make a mistake, and then they have to bring a Korban. And the Zohar says, Ashre Hador, Asher Nasi Echeta, it says, Ashre Hador, unfortunately, the generation that the biggest individual would admit that he made a mistake and he's going to bring it. So there is such a thing that a person would make a mistake. The authority would not be binding, even if the biggest rabbis would make a mistake. In general, a person would not be allowed to follow them. So we have to follow the halacha anyway. So how much more so if an individual is not that authority, that Bichlali's opinion cannot count. So let's imagine, I remember one time I was talking to somebody that was attending, I was speaking to the person that was attending, unfortunately not an Orthodox synagogue. So I asked him, for the Ilu Neshama of his father, perhaps he should try, at least for a beginning, he should start to keep Shabbat, to become Shomer Shabbat, as a way of Ilu Neshama, just as you're saying Kaddish, to accept upon yourself, for at least in the beginning to start. So he said, Rabbi, you expect me to be more machmir, more religious than my rabbi. So that means if the rabbi himself doesn't keep, so I have to listen to my rabbi. No such thing. If the rabbi doesn't keep, if that's the person who is so-called rabbi doesn't keep, so doesn't mean anything. So at the end of the day, the person has this mistaken ideology that you have to follow the rabbi, even if what he tells you is absolutely wrong, you have to follow it anyway. There is no such thing. If it seems to your eyes, afilu nirim be'enecha, if it seems to your eyes that what he's telling you is a mistake, you have to follow. But if it is absolute that he's making a mistake, if it's against the Shulchan Aruch, if it's against halacha, if it's against normative practice of the Jews, then there is no such thing as authority being binding. That's nekuda number one. And how much more so that is, there are certain individuals that bichlal, they are general practitioner max. They cannot be surgeons, they cannot be poskim at all whatsoever. So therefore it comes out, Harav Shechter writes as follows. He says, Hine chadashim mikarov bo. There is a new ideology that come certain women, shanashim, yichbishu kipot, or talit, v'tefilin, b'shat tefilat shacharit. Comes in the morning, instead of the husbands going to shul, and going participating in the minyanim, sometimes unfortunately we see that the ladies go. And the ladies, you know, depending on type of a synagogue that there is, the ladies going to be counted part of the minyan. They need asara. So they count the ladies, part of the asara. The lady goes and puts on talit and tefillin, and she is counted part of the minyan, unfortunately. So he says, when I feel when it comes to official so-called religious stand, he says, these people, Hashela, they never came to ask this question from Gedolei HaPoskim. They basically, they relied on a judgment of a certain, perhaps, you know, individual. Could be he has a rabbinical position. But again, there are the differences in the levels. So he says that therefore, there is no such, they have no legs to stand on. So he writes that this follows the ideology of Korach. Korach came with a claim against Moshe and Aharon. Ki kol ha'edah kulam kedoshim. U'betocham Hashem. That the entire congregation, the Jewish nation, the entire congregation is holy. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within the midst of Klal Israel. So what does that mean? What does he come to reject? So if the entire nation listened to her on Har Sinai, on Mamad Har Sinai, they listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving over the Torah, so why do we need to separate ourselves to have individuals that are supposedly supposed to be Kohen Gadol and another one is supposed to be Moshe Rabbeinu? His claim was, the entire congregation is holy. We don't need to separate and segregate that you are holier than I and you know better than I. Everybody can decide on their own. So you cannot, you don't need poskim, and you don't need to ask the question from Gedolim. That was the claim of Korach already more than 3,000 years ago. Each person can make himself into Talmid Chacham. So it's as if he knows everything, he is knowledgeable of everything, and therefore let him decide the halacha and the practice on his own. You don't need, and that's what the, unfortunately, the conservative, a lot of the, things that they do, you could become on your own. That means they allow, unfortunately, let's imagine for a person to go to a non-kosher restaurant and allow, ask the, let's say, the manager to go to the back, to the kitchen, and decide on their own which food can be consumed. Mamash, such a thing that is halakhically nonsense, but this is what they believe in. So therefore, this is the nekuda number one, that kikola eda kulam kedoshim. This is the same claim as Korach, that you don't need to be a higher position, you don't need poskim, let them decide on their own. And says there is another thing. It says that their behavior is retzonam ve'nihugam shel amad dabar, which means the nihug, the leadership, not only of these, let's say, conservative and reform, these institutions also, that imagine the name that they use, one of the places that they decided such a thing, that which is officially considered to be Orthodox, but in reality cannot be. So imagine that they use the name Salanter. The name Salanter. Rabbi Salanter, to begin with, was famous to say that about 200 years ago when the reform movement started, so Rabbi Salanter used to say that I am also a reformer. So the reform came to reform the Jews. No, I'm sorry. The reform came to reform the Torah. I came to reform the Jews. So that means the reform ideology was that I changed the Torah according to your way of life. In order to be able to allow you that your conscience should not bother you, you would be allowed to do anything and everything under the sun, almost anything. So therefore, the reform came with this ideology. We change the Torah according to your lifestyle. Whichever way you want, you tell us, we make it fit. So therefore, it's like a person, they make an example. Like a person who has a mezuzah box, mezuzah cover, and being that he's interested in such a nice looking mezuzah cover, he goes shopping around all the different sofer stamp stores, all the different places. So at the end, he sees there is no mezuzah that could fit this mezuzah cover. So he gets the mezuzah, he buys the mezuzah finally, he cuts the mezuzah in order that it should fit the mezuzah cover. So therefore they say the same similar idea, that a person's lifestyle has already been decided. So but I say, I don't want to change, so I make the Torah fit my lifestyle. So that's what it is when it comes to... So therefore Rabbi Sal Salanter came to say, I came to reform the Jews, that you don't bring the Torah down. When the Sefer Torah is being, comes out of the paroche, from Aron HaKodesh, they open the paroche, they open Aron, they bring out the Sefer Torah. The kids want to kiss it. You don't bring down the Torah for the child to be able to kiss. You pick up the child to be able to reach the level of the Torah. So this is the idea, this is the difference between the two ideologies. Do you bring down the Torah? Do you bring the standards in order that it should fit the lifestyle? Or do you upgrade the level of the religiosity, and therefore this way you're going to go according to the Torah? So this is Rabbi Sal Salanter says, I came to reform the Jews, that they should re-style their lifestyle. They should reform themselves to be able to fit. So he says, Rav Shechter says over here, he says, Leshanod midarkei ha-mesorah. These people, they came to change the ways of our tradition. And therefore, Al pi retzonam v'nihugam shel amad abar. Amad abar means the nation decides, the people decide, and then the people decide, and then the so-called leadership say, oh, okay, I find you a way, you could do it. This one, you could do it. So then at the end of the day, who decides? The people decide. We want, I give you a heter, I let you do it. There's the next thing. We want, you do it. So therefore, at the end of the day, it says the position of the leadership is based on the behavior of the community. They say, similar to this, I think if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Sal Salanter used to say himself, that the Mishnah says in Masechet Sotah, and also in Sanhedrin, it says the last generation, it says, Pnei Ador ke Pnei Kelev. The last generation, the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. So there are different perushim, what exactly does it mean? That the face of the generation will be like the face of the dog. That Rabbi Sal Salanter used to say, when it comes to the face, which means the leadership, there are going to be certain individuals that are positioned and they have a position of leadership. And says it's similar, Khalil Abakhas, they behave like a position of a Pnei HaKelev. He says, what does it mean exactly? He says, when you see a dog, sometimes a man walks his dog in the streets, and you see he's unleashed. So the dog walks in the front. So then you imagine that the dog walks, and the owner of the dog walks behind him. He says, no. If you take a look, every couple of steps, the dog keeps looking back to see if the position of the owner of the dog has changed to another direction. He's going to go to that direction. He is walking in the front, but he is not the leader. The person behind the dog is ultimately controlling the dog. The dog is constantly looking backwards. So he says, this is Rabbi Sal Salanter already 200 years ago said that. Pnei hador ke pnei hakelev. There's going to be people that are officially positioned in the position of leadership, but they are not leading. They are just following. Whichever direction you want, we change. So therefore, this is the Nekuda number one. So it says, then writes Rav Shechter, says that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, when he passed away in his eulogy, his son, Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, spoke about the greatness of his father. That he wrote, that he said at the time, that Gedulat Aviv, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, was when they would bring a question in front of his eyes, he would be able to not only decide what's going to be the result of this decision right away, up to 60 years he would be able to see in front of his eyes what would be the outcome as a result of his decision. What would be outcome in Klal Yisrael based on the fact that he says mutar, asur, machmir, or to be lenient about a certain topic? he would be able to see the result the next 60 years. He says, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, he said, however, by me, Shachen ke medumelish sheken yeshli ma'ala. I don't have the level, I have not yet reached the level of my father, Rav Chaim, but I have a certain aspect. He says, Lekol apachot ani yachol lakir mash yeshno kevar lifnei lefanai ka'et. At least I know what's going to be result in front of my face. What is it that I'm looking at? So he says that this is a major, major nekuda. He says that sometimes you have individuals that they do not see, Reis Harav Shechter, that the result, what type of tragedy will be the outcome of such a decision that they make. So, one second.
Rav
Velvel Soloveitchik.
Rav who?
Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. So comes out, he says, Harav Shechter, he says another thing. Says that Harav Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University used to say that when you have the goyim, and the goyim come with a certain decision to be able to harisat hadat, to be able to destroy the Jewish religion, if that's their intention, then not only do you assume that for three cardinal sins a person has to give up his life at all times. So the question is, then there are certain other times a person is supposed to give up his life based on the fact that he's going to come chilul Hashem berabim, if it causes the desecration of God's name, if it's in public, certain times a person has to give up his life. But when it is harisat hadat, when their ultimate intention is the goyim, to completely uproot and annihilate the Jewish religion, then the Gemara says, and it's a halacha, that afilu for arketa de mesane, a person is supposed to give up. What is arketa de mesane, that he's supposed to give up his life? Afilu for the color of shoelaces, that the Jews of the time, they used to wear one color shoelaces, and the goyim used to wear another color shoelace. Afilu for something that has no religious significance. But once they want to destroy the Jewish religion, then afilu something that has officially no religious significance to it, it becomes nepach lesemel leharisat hadat. If you go and do it according to them, it symbolizes that you were willing to allow them to destroy our religion. That means certain idea, changing the shoelaces, what's the big deal? One color shoelace, another color shoe. No. But when the gezerah is that they are interested to do harisat hadat, uprooting of the Jewish religion, so then afilu when it comes to shoelaces. So he says, and this has nothing to do with the goyim. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that ein hevdel bedavar beinim ha'anas hu nochri ki antiochus harasha o yehudi. Doesn't matter if who is the one who wants to destroy the Jewish religion from its roots. Who is the one? Doesn't matter if he's a Jew or he's a goy. He's a goy, he's a rasha as Antiochus, or he's a Jew. Doesn't matter who it is. Once the symbolism is that they want to change and destroy the Jewish religion, then afilu for shoelaces becomes yareg val yavur. What does it mean, yareg val yavur? Chal b'chas, to give up a person's life and not to transgress such a thing, such a minute thing that it seems to arise minute. A halakha would dictate that a person would be obligated to give up his life. So now, Rabbi Soloveitchik at the time, there was a question that was given over to him. So we're going back probably many decades ago, maybe 30, 40, 40 years ago. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was given a question that since in India, there was a community of Jews, that they, authorities over there, they decided that it's worth it, instead of the Jews doing Chilul Shabbat or not coming to Shul, whatever it was, that they should hire a non-Jew to be a bus driver, to go pick up the Jews from all over the town, to bring them over to the synagogue on Shabbat, that they should daven Betzibur and Shalom al Israel. So they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, would he be matir such a thing that they should hire a non-Jew here also in America to be a bus driver or taxi driver, whatever it is, to pick up the Jews from their home, from their houses, to bring them over to the shuls, instead of they doing Chilul Shabbat, let it be done Ali the Goy, And there are certain ways to be able to be to find a loophole to be able to do it based on different ways. So so they asked him this question, forget about it. So they kept pressing about Harav based on this and based on this and based on this, and since it's being done in India, so he says, forget about it. The third time they pushed him, so he says, even if you would be matir in India, in America, this would not be mutar. He says, why? He says, since this represents the reform and conservative ideology, that they allowed such a thing that a person should come and it supersedes everything else. You could be mechalel Shabbat yourself to go with a car on Shabbat, which is lo tevaroesh b'chol moshevotecha miyom Shabbat. This week's parasha, that the Torah says, do not turn on fire, do not ignite fire. They allow it, unfortunately, Rahman al-Islam, already from 1960s, they made such a decision, conservative movement, that for the members for to be mechalel Shabbat, to come to shul with the car, is kedai, is worth it. So therefore, this represents a conservative and reform ideology, and even Ali the Goy would be a symbolism of Harisat Adat, destruction of the Jewish religion. So therefore, he said, forget about it. Similar to this, Rav Shechter writes that this Nekuda, that there has to be a certain line of difference between authentic and orthodox behavior as opposed to conservative and reform. So he writes as follows. He says that therefore, he says that he brings the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam, about 850 years ago, he wrote a very interesting halacha in regards to the way you come to calculate the Yovel, the Jubilee year. So he said, I have many, many proofs that the way perhaps we are counting is not the proper way to count for the Jubilee year. He says, however, because of the fact that the Geonim, that means the previous Chachamim, before the Rishonim, they were behaving one way. This was the basic custom, that the way the Jews used to count it. So writes the Rambam, therefore, even though I have enough proofs that the count should be done differently, he says, however, I follow the basic Mekubal custom. Hanahu kam Mekubal, the basic accepted custom, because these are Amudim Gedolim Behora'ah. Ubahen Ra'ui Lahatlot. We are supposed to rely on the way the Jews have behaved throughout the generations. So therefore, right, according to our Mesorah tradition, so it says, Afal Pisha Da'atu Shel Rambam Behalachazu Haita Note. His opinion was different. He humbled himself and his opinion to the opinion that was basic practice up to the time till the Rambam. So we see that means what has been done throughout the years. Throughout the years since the giving of the Torah, there has not been such a thing. So where do they come from? That they come all of a sudden to say, oh, let's start doing such a new behavior. So Harav Moshe Feinstein, many years ago also, similar to this, he wrote in Igrot Moshe, he has a letter that basically, in that essay, he has a teshuvah that he wrote over there, that many of the things that the ladies, they want to do, could be halachically, there would be grounds for it. But he says that first, many of them, unfortunately, they want to make an agenda of women's leap. It's only a basic premise that they're going based on the fact that women have been up to now, as if to say, imprisoned, and now they want to release themselves and make it like the way of the Goyim to come and announce that it's a liberation of the Jews. He says a lot of the issues could be halakhically not prohibited. It's only because of the fact that they have this ideology to make a statement. that the Judaism and its practices is one thing, now we start our revolution. Says that, however, he writes, if officially speaking, first and foremost, a person has to see if these individual ladies are really totally sincere. That means, are they keeping all the mitzvot, everything? Berachot, they say, bikatamazon, seniut, absolutely the mitzvah of seniut, which is the biggest mitzvah by them. Are they keeping it 100% when it comes to the learning of the halachot that they are obligated to observe? Are they doing that? Every aspect of the mitzvot, many of the mitzvot, is only mamash could be sach hakol 10 to 12 mitzvot that the woman would be, as far as mitzvot aseh is concerned, that are dependent on time, they are exempt. Let's say it's a mitzvah of tefillin, mitzvah of sisit, that these two they cannot do. And then you have the mitzvah of tefillin doesn't apply on Shabbatot and Yom Tovim. Mitzvah of talit and sisit doesn't apply at night. That's why mitzvah aseh has one gram. It's a positive commandment that is depends on time. Then nashim peturut. Let's say, what else do you have? You have lulav and etrog. But officially, if they want to shake it without the bracha, they would be allowed. To sit in a sukkah, they are exempt. But if they want to sit without the bracha, they are allowed. To listen to the shofar, they are exempt. But if they want to do it without the bracha, they would be allowed. And they get a reward for it. So there are certain mitzvot that they could volunteer to perform. So then the question is, are you making an agenda? Are you totally, sincerely interested? So if they would be interested, the question is, are they keeping all the mitzvot, everything what they are obligated to do, and just this couple of more nekudot are left, and therefore, now they, you know, this is what you have. Some of them, then they, says Rav Moshe, officially speaking, if it would be the case, if it's not for the sake of making a statement and agenda, many of the things, except these two, this there is nothing to discuss, I'll show, I'll indicate soon, but Sisit and Tefillin, there is nothing to discuss. That, you know, besides these two, they would be allowed to keep the mitzvot. It's only the fact that whether there is absolute sincerity involved with it, and are they keeping absolutely all the mitzvot that they are obligated up to that time. So it's a very interesting, Rabbi Soloveitchik, there was a lady that came to him many years ago again, that says she's interested in the mitzvah of sisit. Can she wear talit katan? He says, I want to wear it, Rabbi, I want to wear it. So the rabbi, Rabbi Soloveitchik, told her, okay, you know what? Take the garment, the talit katan, but without the strings. Let's try it this way. Do it gradually. Let me see what happens. So take the talit katan, take the four-corner garment, wear it without the sisit. Without the beracha, wear it. So, because she was pushing too much, so this is what the reaction of the rabbi was. Wear the talit katan, the four corner without the strings, don't put the tzitzit on it. So, she wore it after a month or two, she sees Rabbi Soloveitchik once again, says, so the rabbi says, okay, Nunu, what's going on? He says, yes, I wore it, and since the time, I feel tremendous, tremendous kedusha. He says, for you, it's prohibited to wear. He says, because to begin with, there cannot be an element of kedusha if the strings are not. The strings is what it does, what makes it into a sisit. For you, in your mind, you're thinking that you gain kedusha. How can you gain kedusha? This is not a mitzvah. There is no such mitzvah. To wear four corners without hanging the sisit on is nothing. So, therefore, in your mind, if you're saying that you felt kedusha, so you want to make an agenda. For you, it's prohibited. Nothing to discuss. So therefore, now, the fact that it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says, Maran, Nashim ve'avadim peturim metefilin, mipnei she'im mitzvah aseh she'azman gerama. It says that ladies are exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin because it's a positive commandment that depends on time. Since, as I mentioned, Shabbatot and Yom Tovim, you cannot put on tefillin, so it's a positive commandment that depends on time. Any positive commandment that depends on time, women are exempt. And then writes the Rama, Ve'iman nashim rotsin rotsol lachmir al atzman mochin beyadan. If they want to be machmir, to do it anyway, we rebuke them. We don't allow. So that's the opinion of the Rama 500 years ago, the Shulchan Aruch was written. So therefore, the fact that they also, from Paramus, New Jersey, Rabbi Schechter explained, from a school in Paramus, They asked this question from a yeshiva, also similar idea, the Frisch High School. They asked Rabbi Soloveitchik about more than 40 years ago, the same question, a young lady from that high school, whether I could put on tefillin. He says, no, the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch is Asur. There is no such thing. That Mukhin Beyadan, Rama says, we rebuke them. We don't allow them. So therefore, Rabbi Soloveitchik at the time told this young lady that even if you are interested, he says, Hora Rabbeinu al-pi divrei Rama ha'elu limchot beyada, not to allow her to put on tefillin, even though she goes to such a school, not to allow her. So comes Rav David Yosef, the son of Rav Ovadia, and I just end with this nekuda. Rav Ovadia's son writes, he says, Imratu anashim le'achmir al asman le'aniach tefillin afilu b'lo beracha. If they want to be machmir and to put on tefillin without the beracha, yesh limchot beyadan le'monan mila'aniach tefillin. You rebuke them to tell them not to put it on. Because tefillin officially requires guf naki, an absolute clean body, and already Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's enough that we allow the man for a limited amount of time to put on tefillin and take it off as soon as tefillah shacharit is over. So don't bring in other individuals because of the kedusha of tefillin into the picture. So then it says as follows. He says, Isha ha-minichat tefillin overet gam al isur min ha-Torah. There is an opinion, any lady that puts on tefillin, besides other factors, she is transgressing isur min ha-Torah of lo yekeli gever al isha, that the Torah says, lo yilbash gever simlat isha. A man cannot wear clothing of the woman. Lo yekeli gever al isha. A woman cannot wear clothing of the man, which not only it is clothing, it's also behavior of a man cannot be practiced by a woman. Behavior of a woman cannot be practiced by men. So let's say they go in front of a mirror and they have a white hair, a man, and he just, instead of getting a complete haircut, just plucks out the white hair. He's doing Isur Torah. So therefore, because that's a practice of a woman. Similar to this, lo yekeli gever al isha. So comes the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel says, and some of the poskim ben Ishchai regarding the mitzvah of sisit paskins like this also, that if a woman comes to wear sisit, and over here mitzvah of tefillin, they are doing the practice of the man, and that would be prohibited on the woman. Then the last nekuda he says, and he says that harezeh kederech hakofrim bedivre chachamim. Anybody that puts it on anyway, you are indicating that you are rejecting the words of our Torah Sheb Alpeh, our oral tradition. You are kofer bedivre chachamim veinam rotzim lidrosh hapesukim kedivrehem, and you don't want to listen and you don't want to accept our tradition the way it has been explained, the pesukim according to the gedoleh Haposkim and Gedoleh HaChachamim, and therefore it's another indication of Kefira b'Torah Shebe'alpeh v'gam al-pi Kabbalah asur l'nashim l'aniach tefillin. Then he concludes, even according to Kabbalah, you want to say, I'm into mysticism, I want to be a mystic, a lady, let's say she wants to be a mystic, al-pi Kabbalah this is prohibited. There's nothing to discuss. Therefore, either way of looking at it, you know, as I mentioned again and again, has to be not Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. It is, they are holy, but we still need Moshe Rabbeinu, and we need Aharon, we need Gedolei Ador to direct us, and it has been a practice of the Klal Yisrael throughout the years. Otherwise, so therefore, this is unfortunately to use a mitzvah for self-grandizement, or you know, to make an agenda out of it, is disrespect to the mitzvah, rather than fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. Because Hashem, we should all be zocher to be able to do the Ratzon Hashem the way He wants it.